Welcome to the Two Brothers and Their Sports Podcast. I'm your co-host, Arif.
And I'm your other co-host, Arsh.
And today on the show, we have three topics to get to. We're going to start off by discussing men's and women's March Madness, specifically for the men, the Final Four, and the National Championship. And then for the women, what we think it means if Caitlin Clark wins. And then I'll go into predictions for that. And then finally, the Stephon Diggs trade that just took place this week. Crazy trade to the Houston Texans pairing up with CJ Stroud. We'll get into that later on. But I'll get us started here with the NCAA women's bracket. And here we are in the Final Four. At the time of this recording, the Final Four games are taking place. South Carolina's up on NC State, and Iowa plays UConn at 9:30 p.m. today. So, first of all, I think that this is just – it's been a very crazy and exciting tournament, overarching – an overarching theme of this tournament. There's been so many stars, and specifically Caitlin Clark, who has really changed the face of basketball, not only for women, but basketball in general. If you look at the impact that Steph Curry had, Caitlin Clark is having a very similar impact across sports, especially this year. She's really changed the way that basketball is being played, and specifically in the March Madness tournament and in the Final Four, there's the powers of South Carolina that I have advancing over NC State. And then UConn, Iowa, we know they have Paige Bueckers, UConn does, and Aaliyah Edwards. But I think Caitlin Clark is just too great. I think she makes it to the NCAA tournament. I think that could be enough to cement her as the GOAT in women's basketball, in NCAA women's basketball. I think that that is a very compelling case, let alone if she wins, which I actually have Iowa winning this NCAA tournament in 2024. I think Caitlin Clark is that good. I think Iowa is that type of team where they have the talent, they have the depth, and they have the star power to win the tournament. So I think that Caitlin Clark and Iowa take this win, and I think that really cements her as the best college women's basketball player, and even college basketball player ever in terms of men, women. It doesn't matter. She's changed the game like I talked about, and winning this would just be another accolade that she has under her belt.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think what she's doing on the court has been absolutely astonishing, breaking the points record like you had mentioned, and just being all around there's no debate. Right now, she is the greatest college women's basketball player on earth right now. Now, if you go into the NBA, WNBA, there's a ton of great professionals, and you got to remember Sabrina Ionescu, who was that was a couple years ago, where she
with Oregon.
She played with Oregon all the way until she was a senior, still got drafted number one overall, was known as the GOAT, right? If you look at the GOAT of college basketball for women, women's college basketball, it's Sabrina. And that's just the way that it's been. And she's been dominating in the WNBA as well. So I think both of them, for me, both of them are right next to each other. Now, luckily, I've been able to watch a lot more of Caitlin Clark. I didn't watch a ton of Sabrina while she played, especially not when she was a freshman or sophomore, maybe a little bit as a junior and senior. Caitlin Clark, we've seen her develop. We've seen her be an absolute dominator, dominating all her opponents. Iowa is just one of the greatest teams, if not the best team in the country right now, because of Caitlin Clark, because of her shooting.
Yes.
And like you said, it is changing the way the game is played. You can argue that like 3-point shooting was already a big thing. You look at Steph Curry, he changed the way the NBA was. If you look at the realm of college basketball, if you look at the realm of women's basketball, it's evident that Caitlin Clark has changed the way that it's being played, and she might be a better shooter than Steph Curry was, especially in college. Maybe now, debatable, because Steph Curry's had more time. She might be a better shooter of the basketball than anyone I've ever seen with my eyes. So I think the game that she had against LSU, crazy, especially when all of the shots were falling in that game. I mean, that was a spectacular game, especially after the first quarter, which I was watching. That's when I was watching really closely. I mean, all their shots were falling for both sides of the ball.
Crazy.
Angel Reese was playing amazing, out of her mind, and I feel like the roles kind of swapped. Caitlin Clark took over while Angel Reese cooled off. I think, yes, if Caitlin Clark gets a title here, and I really hope she does, because we all hope for her success story. You know, this is one of her last years. I hope that she can get this title and cement herself as one of the greatest players in college basketball history, men or women. Right now, I think that she's already on that list. And I hope that her winning a title will prove it to millions of other people around the globe that she is that kind of person.
It's been crazy. And I like you talked about, if you go back to that game on Monday, April 1st, Iowa put up 94 points on Angel Reese and LSU.
Yes.
That is astounding. Caitlin Clark really had a blow up. And like I said, and you talked about this too, you echoed this. Caitlin Clark has been a superstar. She's been so enjoyable, puts on the show every single night, every single game she plays. And I think this would really just cement her legacy, being able to win a national championship this year.
Yeah.
But with that, we'll move on to the men's side of things, the Final Four and the NCAA the championship, which again, a bracket that has been extremely exciting to watch. If you look on the left side of the bracket, it is UConn versus Alabama, and the right side, Purdue versus NC State and the crazy DJ Burns. So Arsh, I'll let you take it away here because you're the best at predicting. What do you have in these two games?
Yeah, so I think this is going to be a really good ending to the tournament. I've been all right this year. Last year, I did pretty good. This year in the first round, the upsets were just popping off the board. I predicted NC State to
I mean
make it.
predictions in general. You're like the you get all the predictions right usually. NFL, it doesn't really matter. So that's what I'm saying. I just
The
starting
NFL.
with you, I think I have a basis to base my argument off of.
Yeah, thanks. The NFL, I mean, the NFL is, I feel like that's just really easy. College basketball, on the other hand, just another level of
Different level.
craziness. And even last week when we made our predictions, we predicted one side. For me, for you, it was a little bit different because I said NC State would make it, but I think you were almost the same as me. On the left side of the bracket, we went 0 for 4, I believe.
Oh,
And
for four on the Elite Eight game.
On the right side of the bracket, I went 4 for 4. It's just the way that college basketball ends up working out. It's just the craziest games and upsets and chokes and game-winning shots. But for this to kick it off, let's go with the first game tomorrow. That's Purdue versus NC State. I think this is going to be an amazing game. Zach Edey is projected to be a second-round pick for a reason because he's a big man. But can he really make it in the NBA, especially with this frame? But what else can he do other than just get to the paint? And can he do that efficiently, especially against other big men? We're gonna see against DJ Burns. DJ Burns is one of the most talented guys in the nation, and I think that he is going to have the key to shutting down Zach Edey. And if you can do that to Purdue, the number one seed will be knocked off. I think NC State, I predicted to make it. I can't remember if it was the Elite Eight or Final Four. It might have been the Final Four, and I do think that this run is going to continue. I think, firstly, I did not think that they were going to make it to the Elite Eight. I said they'd make it to the round of 32, or Sweet 16. Now I'm predicting that they make it to the national championship. I think NC State will knock off Purdue. I think DJ Burns will cement himself as one of the best college basketball players in the nation right now.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to disagree with you here. I know DJ Burns has had a crazy story, really came to the ACC, and this was one of his Instagram captions, and it's what all of the critics said when he transferred over. His game will not fit into the ACC. And very clearly, if it didn't, he made a space for it. He is a lethal player, 270 pounds, 6'9", and beast on the court, and really can do everything. Score in the paint, can shoot mid-range, can pass, dish the ball. He draws all the attention, great at passing the ball off of double teams. So look, DJ Burns is really the leader of this NC State team. Both NC State teams made it, men's and women's, to the Final Four, one of the first teams to ever do that. But I don't think DJ Burns is going to be able to beat Zach Edey and Purdue. I know you talked about Zach Edey being projected a second round pick. I think that is because he's a little bit on the older side. I think that's also because he really hasn't had the kind of I know he's been great, but the extreme level of dominance that you look for in a round one pick or top lottery pick coming out of college basketball. So I think Zach Edey is still great. I think he does have enough to beat NC State. I think an 11 seed making it to the championship game would be astounding for college basketball in general and would continue to wreck people's brackets. But
Yeah.
aside from that, I don't think that DJ Burns and NC State have enough here. I think they've been a very great Cinderella story, but I think they're riding a lot off momentum. Having a week or so off is going to be really big for them. I like personally for me, I've been looking forward to this, but a lot of people probably have forgotten a lot about what NC State basketball is about because they had like four or five games in 1 week. They played continuously on and off. And now here they had a week off. I think that momentum might hurt them, and a better team in Purdue that's had a chance to let their opponent cool down could really benefit from that. So I have Purdue making it to the championship.
I respect that. I just disagree about the type of team that NC State is. Usually when you see these low-seeded teams make it so far, it is all momentum. But in this case, I honestly believe that NC State is the type of team to actually, for once, and we always talk about it as analysts, as commentators, we always talk about that mentality that only the greats really were able to show. Is this something that this team has? Can this team forever go down in history as a team that came in as an 11 seed? I can't remember the last time a double digit seed won March Madness. I might be forgetting a team, but I can't remember the last time I really.
Even made it to a Final Four.
I know. I can't remember the last time I really believed in a team the way I believe, like a high seeded team, the way I believe in this NC State team. I've seen them play, and I know that it's not momentum. They really are those type of guys, which you rarely see, that actually have that underdog mentality, that are actually able to use the people that take advantage of them and the people that say that they aren't going to be good enough, and they don't just say it. They don't just say it and make it to the round of 32 and say that we're a contender. We're not an underdog like Oakland did. No disrespect to Oakland. They were not a contender. They said that after the game, Jack Golkey, who was amazing, by the way, said, we're not an underdog. You kind of were. In this case, I don't see this team as a team like that. I see this team as a team that sees those people that have stuff against them and uses it as fuel for them, that uses it to make it past. And I might just be saying all
That's
this,
true.
and Zach Edey drops 40 points on them and they lose in the Final Four. But this is the type of team that, these are the type of teams that can actually make it. We haven't seen a team like this. And then going to the next game, that's going to be UConn, the number one seed that's breezed past everyone in this tournament, versus the 4 seed Alabama. I'm picking the number one seed, and it's crazy. I mean, we haven't had one number one seeds in this far into the tournament in a long time. I think one is going to make it to the championship, and I believe that this one is going to be UConn. I've picked against them many times. I picked against them, I believe, in the Sweet 16, if not round. I don't think it was round of 32. I think it was Sweet 16. And since then, I've been picking against them. I think they are a good enough team. I watch them play. I think that they are a true number one team that's not going to let Alabama beat them. And Alabama's a good team. They don't have any crazy stars. And I think that UConn is just going to win this game sure-handedly by at least 10 points, if not 15-ish.
Yeah, I agree here. UConn, again, you talked about it, an extremely good point differential. I don't think a team has got within single digit points of them in a single game this season or something crazy like that. They have beat every single team by 10 or more points this season. And it's looked like that wasn't going to be the case early in earlier games. And UConn came out in the second half and said, nope, we are still that team. We play great defense. We knock down shots. We get on a roll, and we are an incredible team. And there's a reason that we are the overall number one seed. I think they advance over Alabama. I'm not sure really how Alabama made it this far. I know they're a great team, but I think NC State is a much better team than Alabama. So I would have UConn winning this game. And for me, that makes UConn Purdue the final game of 2024 NCAA men's basketball March Madness. And for me, I have UConn winning it. I talked about Purdue being that team that can never finish the job. And I picked against them like you did with UConn. I did UConn SDSU too. I picked SDSU over them. But with Purdue, I had them losing second round in the round of 32. Then again, I had them losing later on. I have Purdue losing over and over and over again, and they continue to make it. I don't think this is a team that can beat such a dominant, such a good UConn team that has just been good on every single front this year. I think they're just too good. And it would be like the 73-9 Warriors, where they make it all the way to the finals and they lose. Because this is a team that should not happen to. On paper and
Yeah.
statistically, this is the best team in college basketball. So I have UConn winning.
They are the 73-9 team. But I do have NC State versus UConn. And I think that this is going to be an amazing championship game. If NC State makes it to the finals, that is added momentum. And I just said that they aren't a team that needs momentum, but that added momentum will make it a game. It'll make them play good enough to win, especially with the players that they have. So, do I think that the probability is that UConn will win? Yes. Am I going to say that NC State is going to win as a prediction? Because I think NC State is a good enough team to do it, and if they do do it, that would be absolutely insane. Also, yes. So I'm going with NC State winning the tournament. I think that
Oh
they're
my
going to
God.
beat Purdue and UConn, both one seeds, to make it all the way to the finals. And I'm picking the 11 seed. I picked it. You can look at our YouTube thumbnail 2 weeks ago. All the other teams are crossed out, and NC State's highlighted with a green circle because that's the pick to go win the tournament. And from a week ago, I think that NC State is going to win this year's March Madness if they can beat Purdue. If not, it's going to be UConn. But I do think that Purdue is a team that can be beat. Like you said, you think UConn can beat them. I think NC State can beat them. And I think that UConn's such a good team that is it likely that they would win? Yes. But if NC State makes it, they do have a very good shot at beating one of the hardest teams to beat in college basketball.
That would be an incredible Cinderella story. But with
Amazing.
that, let's move on to Stefon Diggs being traded most recently. Again, this took place 2 or 3 days ago from the time of this recording to the Houston Texans. Now, first off, I just want to say we know that Stefon Diggs wanted to leave Buffalo 2 summers ago, right before the start of the NBA NFL season. It was rumored that Stefon Diggs was unhappy in Buffalo. There was some dissent between him and Josh Allen in training camp and all this stuff. So, and it looked like that went away this year, or maybe that was earlier this year. But there was issues, and it looked like that was resolved. And Josh Allen, we all know that clip of Josh Allen and Stefon Diggs on Thanksgiving saying, "I'm thankful for you, I'm thankful for you," and Stefon Diggs tears up as they're going on to out onto the field. But clearly, that did not work out, and either Josh Allen had to have a say in this. So for me, I just think the biggest impact is definitely the Houston Texans. The momentum that they got from this season, going winning 10 games when they weren't expected to. Everyone, most people not didn't expect them, except for you yet again. But I think that the Houston Texans, the momentum they got and the inspiration that they felt from having a rookie quarterback, number one ranked rookie of the year, be in the MVP conversation late in the season and take them to 10 games, take them to winning 10 games and the NFL playoffs and winning a game. This is an absolutely incredible young team. Three wide receiver ones. Stefon Diggs, who's going to be wearing number one, Tank Dell, Nico Collins. Tank Dell coming off a season-ending injury, but Nico Collins, who really showed up late to the season when he's healthy. I think if this trio, not to mention the incredible guy throwing them the ball, we saw the CJ Stroud to Jamar Chase connection at the Pro Bowl. It's going to be very similar to that. I think with Joe Mixon in the backfield, with an upgraded offensive line, an incredible defense, and additions they made. I might have to say this is my pick to win the Super Bowl. I'm not going to say that,
That's
but
insane.
definitely AFC Championship game. I have them locked in against the Kansas City Chiefs. I think this is going to be a really, really great season for the Houston Texans on paper, unless something horrific happens, which obviously we pray to God that that does not happen. But they have five incredible offensive talents, not to mention the offensive line and an incredible defense. D'Amico Ryans, who is an incredible coach and coaches defense. This is going to be a team and a formidable enemy for anyone that goes up against them for the 18 weeks of the season and the NFL playoffs. I have them making it to the AFC Championship game, and I am going to make sure, I'll say this right now, CJ Stroud is going to be a top three quarterback and top three fantasy football quarterback next season. So make sure you draft him. He's going to be my round two pick or round three pick for next season.
Yeah, this was an unexpected trade. I think I did not think that I would see a time where, especially right now, with such bad receivers after Stefon Diggs, that Josh Allen and the Bills would trade Stefon Diggs away. The trade details of this trade was they got him for cheap. The Texans got Stefon Diggs for a
Second round
20
pick.
Yeah, a 2025 second round pick, and they got him also for a 2025 fifth round pick and a 2024 sixth round pick. They get nothing in this year's draft, and they get a 2, a 5, and a 6. So I think that this is one of the craziest trades that we've seen. This is probably the best move of the offseason because Stefon Diggs is still going to be a Pro Bowl receiver, and he always say three number ones. He's the number one receiver. He's going over 1,000 yards next year. I told you CJ Stroud would be the best QB in the NFL. Dare I say that they are getting a little bit overrated now? I do think that they are a very good team. They will make the playoffs. They will win the NFC South. No doubt. And Derrick Henry's out of that division. I know AR-15's coming back. It's over for that division. CJ Stroud is winning that division. Don't get me wrong. But are they a team that can make it even to the NFC AFC Championship game? Yeah, they have the stars, but does that mean anything? So I think that yes, they are going to make it to the playoffs. They're going to have a very good record because CJ Stroud is that guy, but he's still a young guy. He's got to cut down on those errant throws. I know he's very accurate, doesn't throw a lot of interceptions, but there was a couple games last year where for some reason he just wasn't so accurate and was throwing a lot of interceptions. The other he was a meticulous robot that won the Offensive Player of the Year. Sorry, Offensive Rookie of the Year. So I think he's got to work on that. I love this trade for the Texans, though, because I see what they're doing. They got Will Anderson on the defensive side of the ball. Oh, CJ Stroud isn't even eligible for an extension after his rookie deal. That's how young he is. You've got that young of a QB, and you're building, like, I'm not going to go through everyone you just said, but they've got all those guys. And they also have, on top of that, a guy like Dalton Schultz, which I have no idea how he knew where the right place to sign was. He signed with the Texans for less money than the Cowboys. Everyone thought it was a mistake. They got CJ Stroud. They traded for Joe Mixon. Crazy thing that they've done to grab a great running back, which we didn't think was feasible if they didn't get someone like Derrick Henry or Saquon Barkley. They've got three great wide receivers now, an amazing defense, got Will Anderson, and didn't trade away a first-round pick for Stefon Diggs. This is going to be a very good team, but an AFC Championship team I'm not so sure about. For the Bills, I guess it had to be done, but like I feel like he wouldn't have held out if you kept him. Probably didn't force a trade. Maybe he might have said that he didn't like where he was, but you've got to make that work. The job, I mean, it doesn't matter if you draft a couple good wide receivers, even if you draft a Zay Flowers level receiver twice in this upcoming draft, it's not going to equate to having that proper number one receiver you must have. So again, Bills fans, are you guys going to make it to a Super Bowl this year? I definitely don't think so.
Nope.
I think
Nope.
this trade ruins it for them.
Yeah, I agree. This is a very disheveled offense. And I forgot to talk about the Bills earlier, but if you look at them now, I talked about the dissent that was within the organization between Josh Allen, the organization, and Stefon Diggs. And I thought it was pretty funny. The Bills granted him permission to seek out any trade partner except for the Kansas City Chiefs because they knew that was a threat. But I don't really know why the Bills are considering that as an option when they only have Josh Allen. Khalil Shakir is their leading receiver right now. Gabe Davis got signed away in free agency. And they have the 28th overall pick in the NFL draft, which is pretty good for a wide receiver, like developing one. But
But not
for
Malik
this wide
Neighbors
receiver
and not
class,
Marvin Harrison.
you don't have you're not Malik Neighbors, not Marvin Harrison. And unless you trade up, it's not gonna be Rome with Dunze, most likely. You're not gonna get Adonai Mitchell. I mean, most likely the options are Ladd McConkey from Georgia, Adonai Mitchell or Xavier Worthy, both of them teammates from Texas.
Texas.
I
All are
think if you
very
want to
good.
go,
All are
I
very
know
good.
they are good,
But
but they're going to take
none
a
are
little bit
close to
more.
Stephon Diggs or those
Exactly.
top three.
And I don't think you're going to get any Rashee Rice production from either of them in their first year either. It's not going to be a guy where you can plug him in and he's going to be a wide receiver one. Not even Zay Flowers type, possibly, but I don't think it's going to be close to that either. I think the Bills are really in trouble. If they want to make a playoff push and they want Josh Allen's window to be right now, they're doing everything to show that that is not the case. They are not helping out him out in any way possible. Let off Trey White in free agency. I mean, in free agency, I know that was part of the cap, but let off Stephon Diggs, let off Gabe Davis. Going with Khalil Shakir as a wide receiver one, going to the NFL draft, made no big splashes in free agency. Like, this is a team that is going to really struggle with Sean McDermott as their head coach. So I think this could really be an organization that could be average too. I think the best way to compare them is the Dallas Cowboys. Did really nothing in free agency, are fine with having lackluster depth at a position and not a real star, and then the season goes average. I think that's how it's going to be next year for the Bills.
Yeah, and remember last year they went traded right in front of the Cowboys, drafted Dalton Kincaid, got a tight end instead of a wide receiver. It's coming back to bite them right now. And like you said, they're gonna have to hope for a Puka Nacua type guy to save them to make the Super Bowl this year or next year. I know it sounds like we're being really harsh. A guy like Zay Flowers is very good for a Ravens team. They're not good enough to make it to the Super Bowl if you get a Zay Flowers type guy or two on this Bills team. I honestly don't think so, especially when you had Stefon Diggs and you couldn't do it. How are you going to do it with a guy like that? That's the thing that you needed to build on the most was receivers, other than a couple of other positions.
I think
It's
the
receivers,
only,
and they got rid of their best one.
yeah, I think the only real option for a Super Bowl contention, which is still very, this is like a very, no, we wouldn't know if this would be the case, but in my opinion, the
Trade up.
best chance they would have is to trade up and get Marvin Harrison or or Malik Neighbors.
That would
Those
be
are their
great.
only
They got to
two
get those
options
picks like that
to
done.
salvage their Super Bowl hopes. Realistically, nothing else is going to cut it to help them make it to the Super Bowl. They're going to have the same problem that the Chiefs have. And being honest, Josh Allen is not Patrick Mahomes, and none of the receivers that they draft are going to be Rashee Rice. That's just a pure matter of fact thing that I think is going to happen next year.